So jet lag with kids.
Right. It's good.
That's
right?
A delight.
It's good.
Yeah.
How's that working?
Exactly as you would imagine. Am I banging on all cylinders today or what? Like this could be the show of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm that's what we're billing this as.
All right, let's get on it.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 244 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
You're in Vancouver. I'm back, Adam.
We're not at the beach.
We're no longer at the beach. That was a long day.
Yeah, we were at the beach forever.
Podcasting
for like 3 weeks.
We're
at the beach for 3 weeks.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I didn't mean to ruin the illusion.
Okay.
Yeah, that we were living at the beach. That'd be a good beach to live at if you could.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind. They have showers there and whatnot. So.
Oh, yeah. Toilets, showers, food. Yeah. You can buy food there?
Yes, you can buy food there. Yes, you can. No, but that was a good day. We banged out 3 podcasts and then a little swimming.
Yeah.
A little sushi on the beach.
Yep.
The end.
That's it. That's what happened.
You know what the takeaway was there? I think that was the day where some weather rolled in. And it was just like, okay, we're going to stick around till the sun sets, of course, because that's what you do. But the clouds all rolled in. It was just like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, we didn't really get the sunset.
So we packed up early. And driving away, we're about halfway home, and I see the most beautiful sunset poking through.
Really?
It was phenomenal.
Oh, I did not see that.
To the point that Elena was even like, okay, you can pull over and go shoot it if you want to.
But did you?
No.
Okay.
No, it meant nothing to me at that point. It was an opportunity missed where I didn't want to document it and forever remember that we missed that sunset.
Okay.
So I immortalize it here on episode 244 instead.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up because I was oblivious to the whole thing. I would have been happy to live in my ignorant bliss.
Blam, it was awesome.
Okay.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Buy your sunset murals on Amazon.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
I just bought something on Amazon yesterday.
Okay.
No, not even yesterday. This is... I was when I was in Vancouver, where we were staying. There's a computer store, like one of those, like this we sell everything PC parts stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, you know what? I think I'm gonna get an SSD drive to upgrade to my laptop, just so it kind of runs a little better for a while.
Okay.
And so I finally made the plunge. Prices on SSD drives have come way down, and so
SSD stand for?
Solid state drive.
Okay.
So SSD drive technically is redundant. The D means drive.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Anyway, so I popped over to the computer store on the day we were leaving to come back to Germany. We're heading to the airport in an hour. I thought I'll just grab one, throw it in my bag, install it when I get home.
Okay.
Did not have one. And I thought they were out of stock. And I thought, oh, geez, like, should I go to the other place and run around? I thought, no. So on the way, went back home, just before we left, clicked on Amazon, ordered it to my house in Germany. Bam. It showed up like a few hours. Oh, that's my alarm saying, hey, you should podcast.
I thought that was Amazon at the door. Your new SSD drive.
Ordered it in Canada and then raced it to my door, and it showed up a few hours after I got here.
Okay.
Bam, Amazon. It's that cool.
Yeah. I bought batteries for the 5D. I don't know if I mentioned that on a last podcast or not. I mentioned that I got a card reader, I think, but I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
I don't think you mentioned card reader either.
Oh, okay. I thought I mentioned it, but maybe not. Yeah, I got a card reader because the 5D takes the CF cards, and my computer has a SD card slot, but no CF card slot. So
right.
The transfer speeds from the camera to the computer are ridiculously slow.
Yes.
And hence wanting to speed that up a notch, got the card reader. But I think I may have mentioned that. Either way, also bought a couple of 5D batteries because...
New?
New 5D batteries. I didn't buy like the Canon brand. I just bought like off-brand ones, which have a larger capacity than... Because, I mean, that camera's whatever, 8-9 years old. So
right.
The Canon battery for it actually doesn't have a very big capacity.
So, and at the time, too, that you bought them... I mean, the battery life just wasn't very good. And in the 9 years that they've been, you know, in use, those plummet.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Canon one I have that was given to me when I bought the camera is just, lasts about 13 seconds. So I bought, and I had another off-brand one that came with it too, but also it's probably a few years old. And it's better, but still it might last 45 minutes. So I bought a couple of off-brand ones off Amazon, two batteries for, I want to say, under $30. And... so far, so good. They last a long, long time. So,
all right. I might be in the market for a couple of those, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Again, can't beat the price. So I figure even if they last a year for two for $30, I think I'm coming out ahead on this one.
I generally prefer to buy the branded ones, but I mean, I have a couple of off-brand ones for my 5D, as a matter of fact. Prefer the branded ones, but... For a backup, or you know, if you're having more than one battery, it's not a big deal, because generally, when most places I go to shoot, I can bring my charger and just sort of, you know, leapfrog with my batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Meaning charge one while I'm shooting with the other, and then I'm set. But for a guy like say Chris Marquardt, who's off in the Himalayan mountains, there's really nowhere to charge.
Right.
So you're going to want to get maximum capacity out of that, because you'll be gone for a couple weeks.
Right, I'll remember that the next time I hit the Himalayan mountains.
Or the Andes, it's the same.
Okay, yeah. Rockies.
So how was your summer?
Was good.
I kind of said that a little bit aggressively.
Yeah, it was nice, it was great.
Not technically over, we still got 3 weeks left, 2 weeks left.
I guess, it feels like it's over.
It's the symbolic over part, because this is the long weekend, correct?
This is the long weekend in school. I mean, a lot of places around the world, school has already gone back, but for us, it goes back after Labor Day. So, symbolically, the end of summer is kind of school going back.
Yes.
Because we think of summer vacation. Yeah, the P&E and summer vacation. So, we hit the P&E last weekend, and so now it just feels like Labor Day school, summer's over. And the temperature has plummeted in the last, you know, week and a half. Mm-hmm. So that also makes it feel like summer is over.
It does. It was weird for me because we came home a little bit earlier this year. Like usually we kind of wait till after Labor Day, but we couldn't. And so for me, it was symbolically ended early. Like I got back and thought, all right, well, that's summer, but it was still technically August.
Mm-hmm.
Well, September, I guess we got back in September. But point being, just felt like an early end, even though the weather's still great. Went swimming the other day. This is all going in my book of stuff that people will never read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or boring. In case of podcast, listen to.
Yeah, in this case. while we were in Vancouver, had a couple funny stories.
Okay.
We were at the pool, me and the family.
Yeah.
And I was wearing my swim trunks only, as you do at the pool. And there was a guy there, and he says to me, hey, shouldn't you be wearing a red shirt?
And you said?
I said, huh? Because I didn't understand what he was getting at. I thought, like, what? Like the lifeguard? I don't really know what that means.
I think I know where this is going.
Well, I'd already told you the story.
Well, I was playing along, like you hadn't.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, did you get hit in the head? Because I told you about this. And then he says, no, shouldn't you wear a red shirt saying hoser on it? And even then, I was like,
Do you have a shirt that says that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Well, hosers, but...
Right.
But again, like now I'm kind of thinking this is going where I'm thinking.
Basically, you're saying you're famous.
Well, no, but that's the thing is I was like, no, this can't be. And then he said, oh, never mind. You look like a guy who does a podcast. And then I was like, no, that's me. And then he said, hey, pleased to meet you, Kevin Smith. No. But yeah, he recognized me from the show, and so I thought that's never happened. My wife was pretty impressed.
Wow.
So he didn't want his name mentioned on the show.
So you're a big star.
I guess finally it's better when you say it. Otherwise, it sounds like I'm bragging.
You're kind of a celebrity. You're a big deal. You're a big deal.
Yeah. So that was one story, and then
finish that story, because there's something derogatory towards me, and you're going to leave that part out.
I was going to leave that part out. Oh,
come on.
Oh, okay.
Finish the story.
He referred to you as the other guy.
Yeah, but come on. Finish. You're not doing it justice, I don't think.
Oh, he said. Oh, okay. So he asked me, "Oh, what are you doing in Vancouver?" And I said, "Oh, I'm here for my sister's wedding." And he goes, "Oh, is that one the other guy shot?"
See, that's said, better. That's better. The other guy.
I don't know. I didn't want to throw you under the bus like that.
No, absolutely. That's what stories were meant for.
Like if you're a bus driver, aren't you tired of people getting thrown under your bus?
Yeah, it kind of gives the bus drivers a bad name.
Yeah, no kidding. And then unrelated story, not Florida related at all. So I'll try to keep it short.
Okay.
We're flying home on the airplane. That's how you get home.
Yeah.
And we have we have three seats at the bulkhead, meaning right at the front wall, right?
Okay.
Which is awesome because, you know, we get the two kids and, you know, we kind of need the space. That's great. Well, there's a fourth seat. It's a 2-4-2 configuration. So we're hoping that no one's going to take that seat. Or if they do, that they'll look at my two kids and say, adios, amigos, and go sit somewhere else.
Okay, but it's 2-4-2. You're four.
We're in the four.
Okay.
But But Sam doesn't have his own seat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So he's basically on our lap and right. The floor or whatever. But so we're hoping this guy's, you know, whoever shows up is just going to say, well, this is not for me. Which as you do, like these seats are designed for the families. That's the whole point. So if you book that seat, you roll the dice.
But are these flights usually not full or?
Yeah, they're all pretty full nowadays.
Okay.
So
the person is just going to fly in the wing or something or?
No. There might be a seat or two empty.
Okay.
But but generally, like you book that seat. The good part is you're going to have nobody in front of you right. leaning into your mouth.
Okay.
Downside being, you might sit with some screaming kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now me, I'm cool with that. Like if I'm flying by myself, I try to take that seat. I don't care. I don't care about the kids. They don't ruin my flight. I like the room.
Okay.
But this guy did not. He sat down and right away. Like literally 3 minutes into the flight, like I usually sleep during takeoff for some reason. I'm asleep. Lena's got Sam sitting on her lap, and evidently his foot touched the guy's leg.
Okay. Listen,
I found this out after, and he basically kind of got mad at Lena a little bit, and you know, you can't do that, and this and that. It's my seat, and got really tight.
Oh no!
So Lena was pretty upset, and I said, oh, okay, well, hang on.
While you were sleeping.
Yeah, this is like we've barely taken off. We're five minutes into the flight.
But you're unconscious at this point.
Yes.
Okay.
And
just clearing that part up.
Yeah. So, but I'm sitting on the aisle, the far side. So anyway, so then he, so then later she tells me the story and she's pretty upset. And so I switch with her. So I sit next to Buddy there, and now it's early in the flight. It was like an afternoon flight, so we're figuring the kids will, you know, be awake for a little bit and then hopefully sleep the rest of the flight. That's our plan.
Sounds so, like a good plan, yeah.
Well, that was the idea, and it kind of worked out that way, but they're running around the plane a little bit.
Oh, no.
Well, so we have, like, you know, we're where we're seated, like, they can actually, because of the way the wall works, the bathrooms are on the other side, so they could run out in front of us, run around a little hallway on the other side of the wall, and come out the other side, and basically on this guy's side.
Okay.
So they were basically kind of running in front of him and doing this over and over and over again, and I try to stop him once and twice, but I'm thinking, you know what? Let him run around a little bit, tire themselves out, boom, they sleep the whole flight. Everybody wins here.
Okay.
Buddy did not feel that way. So this is about an hour and a half after after takeoff at this
okay.
point.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and he's getting really agitated.
Yes.
And he's a young guy. He's probably 23, 24, you know? Nothing to really cry about in life. He's mm-hmm. flying on an airplane. How bad is your life, right?
Right.
So anyways, So he starts yelling at Sam.
Is he speaking German?
No, he's speaking English, but with an accent, which I thought was Swiss. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And so he starts yelling at Sam. Like, Sam, he's 1.5. He's yelling at him directly. He says to him, "What is your problem? Why do you do this? You keep going back and forth," and blah, just screaming at him. Sam's just staring at him. So I obviously
intervened. What are the other passengers around in the vicinity doing at this moment?
Oh, I have no clue.
Is there a lot of staring? Is there... What's the general vibe? Okay. Not many people are paying much attention to this.
No.
Okay.
No. So anyway, so he starts yelling at my son. Well, I intervene, and I was like, what are you talking about? He's one. Well, yeah, but he's doing it, going off, and you gotta do this. And I said, listen, why don't you tell him? He speaks English. And he didn't like that. And then, it's your job to control your kids. And they got heated. And I basically told him to shut up.
Okay.
It's one of those situations where, I'm no word of a lie. Had we been on the ground in a coffee shop, I would have hit him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stewardesses at this point catching the kerfuffle?
Oh, back that up a little bit. Just after takeoff, after the incident, the stewardess comes up to him and says, "Hey, maybe you don't want to sit here. Would you like to come and we have another seat, an empty seat for you?" So he goes up and looks at it, sees that it's a window seat, and just says, "No, thank you," and comes and sits back down. So I threw that in his face. I said, "Well, you should have taken that other seat." And there may have been a bad word in there, but it was the way he was talking to my son. I got pretty defensive, and I thought, really, I might not hit him, but maybe like sort of flicked his nose or something, just to escalate it.
But did anyone intervene? Like, was it this heated enough that now people were paying attention?
I honestly wasn't focused on other people.
No idea. But okay, so you're with the other guy, but nobody else had to step in or nobody had to separate you two.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, he wasn't exactly like a big hulking individual.
Yeah, but there was raised voices.
Oh, yeah.
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 And where was Lena in this?
She was just smiling at what a man I am.
Perfect. All right.
So it's kind of a win-win. So I gave the guys $20 and said, "Hey, thanks for the little theater. Move on." Yeah. I'm a hero now.
Yeah. Great.
I just thought, who yells at a one-year-old on an airplane?
Somebody. That guy. Yeah.
Because my policy on an airplane is it's not like you're out at a nice restaurant for dinner. I'm not spoiling your nice dinner. Mm-hmm. You're on a giant bus in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's already pretty bad.
Yeah, I would have probably punched your kid if it was me.
He can take a punch. He's okay. Fine. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting since we last talked?
I shot lots of different things in the house, in the home studio.
Yes?
Yeah, I shot... Well, I posted them on Facebook. I posted mm-hmm. Back-to-school photos.
Uh-huh.
So that white background back-to-school photo. So I did that since we last spoke. And did some photos of the kids face painting, and we turned them into some photos of my daughter as Jem. There's a new Jem movie coming out. Jem was a pop star cartoon, but they're making, and she saw the trailer and she thought, "Oh my God, this is the greatest movie ever. I can't wait to see it." Mm-hmm. So we did Jem face paint and made a Jem pop star picture. And then my son, of course, when we get the face paint out, he's like, "Well, me too." So we made him an 80s wrestling Ultimate Warrior photo.
I saw him. He looked great.
So that's it. That was green screen stuff. So I did a bit of green screen there, and then just picked some different colors that I thought would mesh well.
Yeah, looked good.
And the back to school photos were pretty much just white background, pretty standard stuff.
Just an update of what you've done in the past.
Yeah. So there. And I did buy on Craigslist. I told you about this when you were in Vancouver, but I hadn't mentioned on podcast. I bought. I did find a pair or a set three triggers, Pocket Wizards on Craigslist used, because I've been kind of wanting them. Not that I need them, because the Yongnuos work perfectly fine, but I've just been interested, and I've had enough pros sort of say that, oh, you know, if you like off-camera lighting, eventually you're always going to wind up with Pocket Wizards. So I figured, all right, I found a good price on a set of three, like the TT5 Flex Pocket Wizard triggers, kind of the most recent. They've come out with just sort of a standard Pocket Wizard X or something, like the cheap ones. But these are the full meal deal ones, like that do everything. Now I have three, so technically one for the camera because they're transceivers, and then I can do both of my Canon flashes.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at. I don't know if I'll add, but now the other thing is you can add any kind of Pocket Wizard. They work with every generation. So these TT5 Flexes, you can trigger any other Pocket Wizard. So I could even, because for the Nikon flash, it's not going to do TTL anyways from my Canon transmission, so I could just add a cheap one just to pop it manually.
Right.
But there's one huge difference that so far I've noticed. So you can buy, which I don't have yet, you can buy like a little, I don't even know what you call it. It's called the AC3. It's essentially like a little add-on that goes on top of the trigger, and then it's got like little click buttons, so you can control three channels independently from the top of your camera.
Okay.
So which looks super handy. It sells for like $85, but you can find it on Craigslist if you can find it for about $50. But I'm looking for one of those right now because I don't really want to drop another $90 on one of those, and I don't really need it, but it would be handy to do what the Yongnuos already do built in. Like the Yongnuos, when you put them on your camera, like on a Canon camera, your camera basically lets you use that flash menu control system to control everything inside the camera. You can control manual output to your flashes from the back of your camera. Well, Pocket Wizards don't let you do that. So you have to buy, it's kind of like Apple. It's like you have to buy their product to go on their product to allow you to do that. Now you can use like ETTL from them, and you can use ETTL with flash exposure compensation. So you can do that. But what you can't do is make the manual adjustments to your flash. So basically you have to walk around to the flashes if you want to work in manual and adjust them. So that I did not know, but now I do know. And I kind of thought, oh, that's a bit of a rub. And I mean, yeah, for an extra $80, or if you can find one used for an extra $50, now you've got full control on three different channels. What I will say for the Pocket Wizards is, and over the Yongnuos, is amazingly simplified.
Really?
Super flexible capabilities, but the actual unit itself is so simplified. So you basically, it's got a USB plug-in, so you plug it into your computer and you make all the adjustments using the Pocket Wizard utility to how you want them to act. So you can set almost anything you can imagine. You can set up on your computer where you want it to switch over and sync speeds and blah, blah, blah. You can have it set up for every camera body because I guess there's slight differences in how they work. But set up the channels, everything done on the computer, and then essentially there's nothing to mess up. And it sends both the ETTL and the manual signals at the same time, so it's easy to have, like, for example, when I did the back-to-school photos, and I don't know if I did them with, I did it with the Gem and the Ultima Warrior, is I set the front flash just to ETTL because I wanted to do it quickly, and I just wanted to test it out, and I set the back flash that was going to light the paper to a manual setting, and then it just sorted it out. Now again, firing it on the same impulse, which was very nice and easy. But I love the fact that there's really nothing to bump or switch or move. It just works, which I guess is what makes it a Pocket Wizard.
So far so good.
I love them. Again, not going to get rid of the Yongnuos, because if I want a setup that requires four or five flashes, I can do that because I have enough triggers of the Yongnuos, and I do like the fact I can use the back of the menu at this stage, the camera menu. So I won't be selling those, but yeah, the Pocket Wizards I think will be the go-to. And a two-flash setup, absolutely. Now, the other thing that I love that's the Pocket Wizards can do, and this will come in handy at some point, is they make a little... they make a transmitter that goes on an Alien B, okay? So it's called AC9 or something. So I think you'll like this. So basically what it lets you do is use a studio strobe outside. They call it HyperSync. Have you heard of HyperSync?
No.
It's a Pocket Wizard thing. So basically what it allows you to do is allows you to directly control your Alien B from the camera body, but it allows it to go to sync speed like a regular speed light. It allows you to basically crank the shutter speed and sync it up to I think 1/8,000th of a second on your studio strobe. So basically it's a technology that they've made that's not exactly the way high speed sync works, but it basically figures out how to allow the maximum amount of light through that shutter. And again, I read a little blurb about it, but bottom line is I could see that being super awesome for outdoor photography. So I probably at some point will buy it's a, again, B&H sells, it's a $50 little adapter that goes on your Alien B. So basically you need the TT5 trigger to this little adapter to the light, and then boom, you can work like mega high speed sync on a studio strobe.
Yeah, I'm guessing it doesn't fire it off like in a strobe sort of situation where it's synced with the shutter.
Yeah, I don't know.
But generally, like if you're to fire something at full power, as long as it's timed right, you would get as much power out of your flash that would then it would last long enough to fill the entire frame.
Yeah.
But you're still going to waste a lot of power, but that sounds like something what they're doing there.
Yeah, and I just saw like Pocket Wizard, I looked on sample sites or sample images of what people have done with it, and it looks phenomenal. Just what you can't do with high speed sync and daylight is it's just you got to be close range. It's not a ton of power. Mm-hmm. So now you're probably getting, I don't know, 4, 8 times, 10 times more power out of your light. Just with the increased power supply that you have in a studio light.
Right.
So at some point I will test that out. But anyone who's done any HyperSync, let us know.
We're all ears.
It sounds awesome. This is all my tech nerdy speak, but I think that anybody listening to this podcast is probably speaking the same language.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Photo challenge.
Okay.
From last week, we did fade out in anticipation of the end of the symbolic summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's have a look at what we shot. You go first or second? Your call.
Mine was a little bit of a cop out, so I'll go first.
Oh, so you're going to go ahead and open with that? Okay. I was wondering what happened.
I did not have a photo that really. I kind of struggled with what this meant, like what fade out of summer meant, and didn't really have a photo that fit. We went to the PNE last week, so I thought maybe just my daughter was riding around on a horse at the PNE, and I thought, well, I could use that because the PNE kind of to me is sort of the end of summer. But the photo itself, like unless I gave you that explanation, would in no way would it mean fade out of summer. So because it required that much explanation, I thought, okay, I asked my daughter, I need an idea for summer fading out and fall coming in. What do you think? And she went to the other room and she made this. And I thought, we're doing that. So she,
well, no, you definitely get points because, you know, she's cute. She put the effort in. You lit it pretty well with the bag. Like all those things come together.
And even to the detail, this is my added detail. She's wearing a Seattle Seahawks football hat, and that's the beginning of football season is right around the corner, and that's part of fall as well. So even threw that in the mix. That was a little nugget you were supposed to find there.
Yes, no, I found that. I figured that was it. That was the beginning.
That was the really what tied it all together.
That was the detail does sort of, I won't say make up for your cop out, but it does, you know, put in a good word for it.
Yeah, and this, I mean, forget the fact that this has anything to do with summer fade out or any of that, but this kind of photo is exactly what I describe with the green screen, in that this is two flashes, two lights. So again, use the Pocket Wizards for this, because I thought we might talk about it. So again, this was ETTL on the front light in an umbrella, so that's what's lighting her, and then a light right behind her with a snoot on it firing into the gray paper that I've got behind her. So basically two lights, one was in manual flash, the one with the paper, until I kind of got the light in the spot I wanted it behind her, and then just ETTL using exposure compensation to kind of get the light on her face exactly how I wanted it. And the end, this is super quick. Like, the longest time it takes for me to do this is just to set up the paper roll, which might take 5 minutes, and then the actual photo itself probably about 38 seconds.
Obviously.
Yeah. So
no, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like I say, it has nothing to do with anything fading out, except for the fact that my daughter made this sheet. Yes. I thought maybe I could use a back to school photo that I took in between. Because to me, again, there's another, but none of it really says fading out. Like, back, and I always thought we usually do back to school as a separate challenge, so I didn't want to use back to school photo for a fade out of. I didn't know what this meant, so I apologize.
Okay, well, here's what I'll just tell you what I thought it meant.
Okay,
I took this photo. This is the one with my back to the sunset. I included two to sort of describe what it was I meant by this challenge.
Okay.
So here's the lifeguard chair with my back to the sunset, looking at Vancouver. And this, to me, and you're at the beach this day. You're actually just off to the right.
Yeah, I took this exact photo because you mentioned you were going to take it. And I took this exact photo, but of course I could not post it. My photo, the funny thing is, I should show you the photo and the composition. Like, I took the silhouette one. I didn't take my back. I didn't take my back to the sunset one, but my silhouette one and the composition I chose and everything, and the post-processing on it, I swear to God, it's identical to your, so it's funny. So cause again, everything, I was like, wow, how do you get my photo? And then I was like, I didn't even think you took it, cause you were talking about it, but I didn't actually see you go over there and take it. So I was going to steal this. And then I saw you used it. So I'm like, oh, well, now I can't put that in there.
Oh, you could have, you totally could have. That was fine. Cause it's my backup. The sunset one is my, I'm not using, like, that one's just to prove a point, but in my case, for what it means to me, and when you say that you took it, like, we didn't walk over there and take this together, like, we weren't standing next to this, our families weren't all set up next to the chair here.
No.
Yeah. It was a bit of a hike to get over there, and so it wasn't like we both walked over at the same time, so it is kind of funny that we shot the same sunset shot.
But you told me you were going to shoot it, so I was just being a jerk.
Well, I told you I was going to shoot it, and then I looked over, and there was some lady shooting it.
Yeah.
But hers are probably terrible. But this is what it meant to me, and this is actually the shot that I had in mind for the challenge.
Are you talking about the silhouette or the other one?
The other one.
See, the other one is a better photo, the one with your back to the sunset.
Uh-huh.
But to me, really says nothing about fade out of summer.
Yes.
Versus the silhouette one, which isn't as good of a photo, says far more to me about fade out of summer.
Wait. The silhouette one's a better photo?
No. The one with your back to the sun's a better photo.
Okay.
In terms of if I'm not calling it the challenge, if I'm just saying which photo I prefer the photo where you see the city in the background and the chair actually lit. But as far as for the challenge goes, I think that as far as suited to the challenge, the silhouette one is much more of what I would think you would mean by fade out of summer.
Interesting.
Yeah. My opinion.
Because I like the colors in that one, in the sunset one, and therefore I think it might, I wouldn't say it's a better photo, because this other one speaks to me. Like, this, I took this on purpose. The one where you see the city in the background, because to me that is the fade out of summer, because there's less beauty in it. Like, to me, because of the color tone and just the sort of stillness on the beach. Like, you have the tracks, obviously people have been walking in the sand. You have the ATV tracks are from the lifeguards. But there's nobody around. Generally, in the middle of summer, this beach will be packed even at sunset.
Okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
But at the end, the fact that it's pretty much empty sort of says, all right, we're done here. And that kind of blue light is a little bit sad. You know, like, have you ever, I guess you probably never, like, walked around, like, the water slides, you know, in December. It's probably a miserable place to be.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
It's probably not that much fun in July either. I don't know, but, or if you go to, like, a summer camp or something like that in the winter, it's just a weird kind of place to be because you know that everyone's having fun here in 6 months. But right now, it's just down. And that's kind of what the feeling I was trying to get across. But not just down, because we do have like the nice kind of golden light on the chair itself. And, you know, there is a little bit of nice, sort of nice, good feelings in it. But to me, this signals the end. And the other one, to me, could be taken any time. You know, you can't really see the absence of people on the beach because it's mostly the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors are kind of cool, the way the blues and the oranges and all kind of blend together. That doesn't make me as sad as the other one.
Okay. So you want to be sad?
I don't want to be sad, but to me, if I'm being honest with my feelings, which I'm a dude, so I don't. but if I'm being honest with my feelings, I don't like to see summer go. Like, I like summer. It's my favorite season of the year. By far. And it, all of it, like the sun staying up later, you know, like it's staying light out later, and like the group photo that we took at the beach that day, a little bit earlier than this photo, that to me is what summer is, a whole bunch of friends getting together and barbecuing at the beach and seeing each other and that. And so when that fades out, I wouldn't say I feel sad, but I would prefer it didn't go.
Okay.
So that's what it means to me. Okay. Topic.
Do so I, even so I win, clearly?
Yeah, you clearly win. Okay. Yeah. This week's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about tripods. The last few episodes, we did the summer schedule where we didn't really have a topic. It was just us rambling for 25 minutes at the beach. And now we're back.
To rambling for 25 minutes at home.
And I realized only 25?
Or 35.
More likely. I realized a while ago that we have never talked about tripods on the show.
Well, certainly in passing we have.
I'm sure the word has come up.
We've talked about gorilla pods.
True. I even borrowed yours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even use it. Didn't use your tripod, though.
Oh, okay.
That's borrowed funny because while I was in town, I actually had I was there for a job as well as vacation, but a job that I normally do, and I needed a tripod. Normally, I have one lined up. I don't travel with mine because it's kind of a pain, and so I wasn't 100% sure that my tripod would be lined up. And it was game day. I had to get down there, and I thought, oh boy, I better have a backup plan. So I phoned your house. You were at work, and your wife said, oh yeah, sure, come over and get it. And she points to the light stand that you have taped a microphone onto for Sarah. And she says, is that what you're looking for? And I said, oh, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm pretty sure that's what Adam uses for a tripod. And I said, no, I know he's got something else. I know it's like a small one. It's not like the biggest, sturdiest tripod. But I said, no, he's got something else. Are you sure? I think that's what he uses. A third lap. I was impressed.
Yeah.
But I said, no. So we did a hard target search, and we actually tracked it down and found your tripod, which I ended up not using because the other one came through. But a solid backup nonetheless.
Okay.
It was for a video. It was for that. That's why I needed it. But so the first question with tripods is, do you need one?
Not really.
No. I mean, for the most part, that's why we've gone so long without talking about them, is I went for a long time without using one. I mean, I had one. I had a little one that I used for video, but even for video, I barely used it. Like, it's very rare that I would do that. Everything I kind of shoot is like this run and gun sort of style, documentary style, and that was the same with my pictures. You know, like if you're out shooting sports or something like that, tripod's not going to do you much good.
Right.
But on the other hand, maybe you do need one. They are nice to have.
Yeah, I probably use one about 10 times a year.
I use mine more and more now in the studio for portraits.
Okay.
Because I find I get much better results So it's great for that, for holding the camera still and basically getting consistent results from photo to photo. When you are doing it handheld, you have to be very careful about your framing, and maybe you tilt the camera a little bit or angle it a little bit between shots, and maybe you get some a nice surprise. But sometimes you think, oh wow, I wish that was level. But if you're shooting low light, for instance, like some low light situations, you need a tripod, especially if you're doing long exposures.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it other than putting your camera, on a bench or a wall or something like that. Then you can get away with it, but that's rarely does that work out. Like the day we shot the group photo was a timed shot, the one of us on the beach there. I had to basically balance the camera in a lawn chair and then run over and, get in the photo.
Right.
Tripod would have been nice there.
Mm-hmm.
So, cheap tripod, yay or nay?
How cheap?
Cheap. Because you think to yourself, you know what?
No,
I use it 10 times a year. I'm not spending money on a tripod. I'll get a cheap one.
Yeah, probably don't bother.
Don't. You're throwing your money in the garbage.
And you might have your camera wind up on the ground.
Oh, that's. I haven't even thought of that. Yes, though, that's true. But just in terms of quality, of picture quality and what you're going to get, you're basically throwing your money away. And then you can then add the price of that cheap tripod onto the price of a good one, because you're going to end up buying a good one.
Yeah. I for me, it's like anything, spend a little bit more, you'll probably only ever buy one.
Likely. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go hog wild, but something kind of in the middle,
or buy a name brand at least.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of times when you don't need to buy the name brand.
I don't think you need to buy carbon fiber. Like that's kind of where I draw the line. It's like, I don't need to be able to, have this be a feather light item, because I'm not going to carry it everywhere with me.
Okay. You're skipping ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Manfrotto.
Well, I wrote that down. That's the thing, is like, it's going to be tough to go wrong with a Manfrotto. Now, there's other kinds of legs that you can get. I'm not going to bother naming them, but yeah, you can get them and they'll be decent. You're going to pay some good money for them. Great. But if you get a halfway decent Manfrotto, you're going to be happy. But the question is, which tripod? What do you get? Kind of depends on which camera you're using.
Okay.
Like if you just want to use your little T2i with, the 18 to 55 kit lens,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get away with a much lighter, cheaper tripod than if you're shooting like with an 8x10 view camera.
Okay.
Then you're going to need a much bigger set of sticks.
Okay. Bigger camera, bigger tripod.
That's how it goes. That's okay. The combo.
All right.
So there's that. So you said carbon fiber. Why would you need carbon fiber? Have you ever felt the carbon fiber tripods?
I felt them in the store, yeah.
They're awesome.
They're super light.
I don't have one.
No, neither do I. They're like $400.
Yeah, for me, it is not the best return on investment.
Right.
Because, I can go out and it's not often that I'm hiking, well, like the aforementioned Chris Marquardt, hiking across the Himalaya, and you're taking a tripod, I would probably go with the carbon fiber.
Right.
In that case. But other than that, most of my stuff is around the studio, or, there are times where I'll take it with me. But portability isn't exactly the biggest selling point for me. It is nice to be able to throw your camera in a backpack and throw the tripod on the back of that backpack and ride your bike somewhere. That's pretty handy. And I have done that.
That's what GorillaPods are for.
They're not as full-featured, of course.
Right.
But... So let's say you get the sticks. Now I have the metal, the aluminum ones, and I love them. I have a Manfrotto. I forget the model of my tripod. It's a pretty decent one. I bought used. What about getting your camera on there? What about buying a head?
Good to have.
Good to have. Imperative. I would say imperative. There's no good just screwing your camera onto the base of onto the plate of the tripod. So you need to get yourself a head. What do you do? There's, well, there's a lot of options out there. But for stills, I like and recommend this just the simple ball head.
Okay.
Which you actually have one for your little Gorillapod.
Yeah, I have a ball head on that, and I have a ball head on my man Frodo.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure? What one did I borrow? Maybe I borrowed your backup one.
Nope, I only have one. It's got a ball head.
Barely noticed. But point being, the ball head's fantastic because it gives you a ton of options very quickly. Like the camera positions, you can spin it around, tilt it, make the landscape or portrait orientation all within milliseconds. And that's really handy to have. Some of the older tripods, there's a lot of messing around. I don't even know. Like, I don't even imagine they even sell non-ball heads anymore. Maybe they do.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. So, point being, get yourself one of those. And I, that's what I got. I got a Manfrotto as well. And, forget the model. It's a good one. I love it. I remember when I bought it, I thought, wow, that does seem a little bit steep for a ball head. But it really quickly, you see the value and it doesn't get in your way.
Yeah, and that's kind of even why I bought a ball head for my Gorillapod, just because I often will put a light or something on that, and it's just so much more versatile with the ball head on that, too.
Yes. Now, one downside I found, the way my Manfrotto ball head is designed, is the bubble level on it is not on the top plate. It is on the base.
And some of them have it everywhere, but
which is kind of what you want. If you want to level things out, you want it where the camera's going to be, because I can go ahead and quickly level my tripod and then spin the ball head around, and now my camera's no longer level, even though the tripod is.
Right.
So that's kind of a pain. So that's the only real downside to using mine. Now, if you want a tripod that you're going to use for video, you don't want a ball head. You want something that you can pan and tilt.
Okay.
And if you're doing a lot of work, spend the money and get a nice fluid head. They're the best.
Do you have one of these?
No. They're expensive. I don't know, but my style of shooting, generally I'm either handheld or if it's on a tripod, which is often the case with HDS DSLR video, it's locked down, basically headshots. So I have a pan and tilt video head. It's not fluid head.
Okay.
But what does fluid head mean? It's filled with fluid.
Really?
Yes.
Somehow that makes it better?
It's like, your synovial joints.
Ooh, good reference.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes with the fluid heads, I'll actually, crack them just to hear them, the bubbles pop in the synovial fluid. No,
you won't.
Knuckles? That's what happens with knuckles, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so those are great. You get really nice smooth movements. There's no any jerking of the camera in your movement will not translate into the camera. So they're really, really good. Again, expensive to get. So how do you use a tripod? That's the question.
You put your camera on it?
You put your camera on it. It's just that simple. And walk away. If only it were that simple, wouldn't life be great?
Mm-hmm. What do you have to do?
Okay, so basically, we all know tripod. Tri means three. Pod means pod, like podcast. So it's like three podcasts all together.
All in one.
No, so you have three. All your tripods are going to have the three legs going down, but most of them have the center shaft that you can raise up and down.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah.
So if the center shaft on your tripod extends, don't.
Why?
Until the last possible option. That's the last thing you want to do is extend that.
Will that make it more unsteady?
That will destabilize your camera.
Okay.
Just simply by you can figure out why. It lengthens the distance. You get it. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the last thing you do. You want to extend the legs first. Okay. Now, it is convenient. You think, all right, I can just get it kind of where I want it and then quickly move it up and down. That's great. But you're kind of giving away the reason you bought the tripod in the first place. So keep that as low as you possibly can. And then sometimes you get to the point where it's too bad. You have to move it up or you don't get your shot. Well, that's the trade-off that you're going to take. And you'll probably be fine. But in the meantime, keep it low. Get the most stability. Just like football, if you're a defensive lineman, you want a nice wide stance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with the tripod. So if your legs can kind of spread out, which also lowers the tripod, but if you can afford that to lower it, you're going to create a much larger base and a much more stable environment for your camera.
Okay.
So do that. Next, level the tripod.
Okay.
That's one of the things, like when you go to film school, probably not anymore because we shoot digital, but when you shoot film, they tell you L-fast. That's all you have to remember about shooting with film is L-fast. And the first, that's a, what do you call it, mnemonic?
Level fast?
No, level, focus, aperture, speed, tachometer. But okay. Level is the very first thing, is the point. They tell you level that camera. Before you check anything else, before you check focus, before you check aperture, before you check the film speed. And tachometer is how much film you've shot.
Okay.
So level. How do you level a tripod? Have you ever actually leveled one without the head on it? Just the tripod with a bubble on it?
No, only with the bubble.
Let me rephrase that. The bubble is usually on the head. So how do you level a tripod with a bubble on the head? There's a trick to it.
Okay, I try to get the bubble in the middle.
Yes. Okay, but the quick move is to basically pan the head so that the bubble is basically between two legs.
Okay.
And so what you're going to do is you're going to use those legs as an up and down, like to basically level it front and back. And then you can use the third leg as a simple side-to-side leveling.
Okay, makes sense, yeah.
Rather than be in the middle and kind of having three variables at once, you can narrow it down. And yeah. Then bam, bam, and you'll do it really quick. However, most of these good tripods, and that with the heads included, but for especially for video, are going to have a little quick release on the bottom with like a kind of a ball head underneath the head that allows you to basically level the head really quickly. So basically, I try to get it close with the legs and then bam, just quickly adjust that. Have you ever seen those or do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No idea what you're talking about.
I'm not painting a good word picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you reach up under the tripod, there's going to be like a quick release.
Okay.
Which takes the tension off and then the entire head will pivot on a ball, which is actually a cup on the tripod.
Gotcha.
And so you can quickly get the thing leveled and crank it shut.
I think that's how I do it.
I've seen your tripod. No? I don't think so.
Really?
No.
I'm going to go grab it.
Yes.
Keep talking.
So that's the easy. I think it's just called a swivel mount. So okay. That's a great way to do it. But point is, make it level. Lastly, in terms of tripod, how do you get your camera onto the ball head?
You didn't even know my tripod had a ball head.
Yeah, I didn't know. I barely paid attention to it. Yeah.
How do you know it doesn't have a quick release?
Well, on the bottom, I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm offended. My tripod's okay, so, offended.
Okay. All right, moving on. We'll deal with this next week.
Okay.
Part two of tripods. So, you get your kit, you want to put your camera on the ball head, the panning head, whatever head you're using, you want to put the camera on that.
What fluid do you do? Head. Just strap I got it on? A fluid head.
You want to get a nice satchel or whatever it's called. You want to mount it on there. What do you do? Just screw it right on?
There's a plate.
Almost all of them, and I'm just going to say all of them because why wouldn't you, are quick release. They have a quick release mounting plate.
Yeah.
That you would take and screw to the bottom of your camera, and then you can pop the thing on and off. And for the most part, they release quite quickly, but not too quickly. I've never actually had to drop I've come close to dropping my camera, but that's user error, not the plate.
Right.
So just you got to be careful with that. But other than that, the quick release is phenomenal. I love the quick release. One caveat. I think that means warning.
Okay.
Or piece of advice or something. Now, this is the best. This is the best tripod advice I can give anybody listening.
Okay, I'm waiting.
When you buy your ball head or whatever it is that you get,
yes,
buy a replacement plate right then, the exact same time.
Okay.
Have two.
Because you're going to lose one?
You lose one, but more than likely, you're going to forget to bring it on a shoot. This happens all the time. Like, for instance, you might leave it on the camera and then bring your second camera. You might leave it on your 6D and then bring your 5D on a shoot and look down and see your tripod has no mounting plate.
Right.
This has happened multiple times. Not to me, because I was, you know, after one, I remember.
Yeah, you're prepared.
But I immediately bought two. I said, that's it. I'm going to have two plates. I have one in my bag at all times.
Okay.
Just in case this happens.
You're a warrior.
No. This is being prepared. This is good Boy Scouts. And for the cost of it, like, if you're going to go and drop, like, you know, $100 on a head that includes the plate, and then, you know, the other head's like $12, go ahead and get it, because otherwise you got to pay, you know, extra shipping, and you got to wait because you've lost your other one. Have two.
Okay, and if you don't have two, you can probably find one on Amazon.
That's where I would look. That's where I bought mine years ago, as a matter of fact.
Perfect.
Before we even were a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have one. It was, you know,
there you go. I'm going to buy 10.
Oh, yeah, and hand them out. Just to your family. Here you go. That's it. So that's tripods in a nutshell, I think.
Okay.
Without getting into specifics over which models and brands and stuff that you should get, just the general, here's what you should look for in a tripod.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
What about a tripod bag? Did you get a bag for yours?
It came with a bag. I never used it. Yeah, I never used it.
Mine's got the big fancy bag with the big plastic, you know, end on it, or a rubber end or whatever it is. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome, but it's in my attic storing other stuff right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen mine since I got it. It's just one of those things. My tripod lives in the corner of my photography gearbox, and like I say, makes an appearance every month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now that you say about using it for studio stuff, maybe I will.
It's really handy, especially because you can do the it's really good for live view if you want to get like bang on focus in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very, very handy to have.
Okay.
Because it allows you to step out from behind your camera.
If
you're just sitting behind it, you get a nice interaction with your subject if you step out from behind. Now it's you and them instead of you hiding behind the camera.
Okay, I will try this.
Okay. Next week's challenge.
Okay.
Studio tripod. No.
Yeah? Studio tripod.
Oh, we could.
We can if you want. But,
well, let's do that then. I mean, we can't tell the difference.
Nope.
Maybe you can. If you can't tell the difference, why get a tripod?
Interesting. I'm not sure.
Studio tripod. Let's do it.
Okay.
Are you going to be okay with that?
Or it could just be tripod.
Tripod. Use a tripod.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be studio.
No, it doesn't. Mine might be. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to use a tripod. And,
okay.
Use it to good effect. That's it. Okay, websites. Got one?
Yep, adamschwartz.ca, Two Hosers Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Heard of it. I also have adamschwartz.ca.
Yeah, everyone's got it.
Currently embroiled in a bit of a copyright battle.
Okay.
No, you can check my stuff out at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything that we just talked about and probably more. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.